Blog Talk Radio.
Man, my heart is heavy. I feel a lot of pain. It's been a while now since y'all done heard from Flame. It's been a while now. But God has been rocking your boy. But at the same time, I see Satan's plot to destroy.
Good morning. Welcome to As a Kid Radio Show. This is your host, August Crenshaw. I am happy to be back. Always happy to explore something, well, I shouldn't say new, but maybe for you guys, something new in the Word. It's old because it's always been there, but it may be new to us because it's something that we haven't discussed or an angle we haven't looked at things. So I'm happy to be here, happy to be, I don't want to say controversial, but definitely willing to research and to do things. So today is going to be another one of those days, man, where I'm going to be pointing out something that is a habit in the church and a habit that has to change. And I'm excited about that. But, you know, just a brief update going into the new year. As a Kid Radio Show will continue. Some of you know that I had asked you all to pray and intercede to just see there were some changes coming along, whether or not I would be able to go forward. And I was asking for your prayers, and we are going to continue to go forward. Like I said, the show format has changed a little bit. Maybe sometimes the show could extend a little bit longer, but it is the plan that the show will be shorter. We're looking at 30 minutes, and we're looking at getting the information out, giving the scriptures, and going from there. And if the God is moving the spirit of some of you all to pick up that phone and to speak and to say something, to plug in and chime in, and we need to kind of go back and forth to get some stuff done, hey, that's awesome. We can do that. But, you know, if it's the usual, you all listen in, you take your notes and you go study and touch bases with me afterwards, that is fine too. So I just want to say I'm glad that God has opened the door for me to continue to do this. And sometimes I get a little weary, you guys, because I don't feel like I'm a guru, believe it or not. I don't feel like I'm a know-it-all, and sometimes I'm just wondering why and how I got put in this position. But nonetheless, I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful, and I do take what I do seriously. So even though, like I said, a lot of times I'm controversial, I call out the church, I speak against things that most of us have been taught and have known to be true in a different light, please, I'm begging you to always listen to me. Always follow me all the way through. Let me set it up. Let me explain before you completely discredit where I'm coming from. And the reason why I say that is just think about what we have learned in school throughout the years. Haven't we learned about mistakes? Haven't we learned about errors? You know, we learned about how the earth at one point was considered to be flat. And people were afraid to travel because if you went too far, they were afraid you'd fall off the side of the earth. There was a time when we were also taught that that Earth was the center of the universe because it contained man. And then later on, it was found out that the center of the universe was the sun. You know, so you can't always get stuck on something because you know it and you've been taught it. And think about it, schools are taught by who? Leaders, people that are supposed to be trained, people that are supposed to be the authority on things. So, yes, I know that your favorite pastor may be teaching the opposite of what I'm going to say today, but this is not about your favorite pastor. I'm teaching what I'm teaching because I want the church to be more effective, okay? I want us to get results, and I want us to stop looking like a joke to a lot of people. Yeah, you may not like that, but yes, the church looks like a joke because it seems that people that aren't in the church understand our capabilities better than we do, or they have greater expectations than we have for ourselves. And when those things don't get fulfilled, they look at us as if we are a laughing stock. You know, here's another analogy I want to throw out before I begin to elaborate on today's topic. How many of you out there have taken a math class and your teacher has said, the way you do this problem is 1, 2, and 3. You take these steps and you get this answer. And how many of you have ever tried to create your own shortcut and get an answer and the teacher says, when I looked at how you showed your work, you still got the problem wrong because you didn't use my method. And you're like, but I got the right answer. Yeah, because you got lucky. And if you do this again with a different set of numbers, you're not going to get the same answer. And then they make you do the problem all over again, and they show you how you can get it. And you basically end up with a false positive. You end up looking like something is true and right, but it's not. Okay, so that's what's happening in the church. I want to talk about today, why in the world do we plead the blood of Jesus? Every time you turn around, I mean, when it comes to people that are really deep into healing, casting out demons, when we talk about reading books on spiritual warfare and praying, I see so much pleading of the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. And that right there is something that it's erroneous. It's just wrong. It's flat out wrong. You know me, I can't hold it to the end. I can't present the information there and tell you where I stand. I just got to put it out there in the beginning. So first of all, before I go into all these scriptures and read and say why it's wrong, let me explain to you where it came from. Now, some of you all may have a different experience, but I have the experience, and I have seen through multiple teachers teaching the power in the blood of Jesus, primarily because of one story in the Bible. For those of you that aren't familiar, you have to go to Exodus, and you'll have to read about when God sent Moses on his assignment. Moses was a man of God who was sent to free the slaves from Egypt. And when he went, he was like, God said, let my people go. Pharaoh was like, no, because I'm a God. Basically, I'll do what I want to do. And what happened is God kept sending Moses back, and he would send a series of plagues. These different things kept happening. The water turned to blood. The locusts came and ate up the grain. All these different things were happening. And no matter what, it didn't make a difference. The Pharaoh would not bend. And one of the first miracles that or signs of God that Moses was performed was he went before Pharaoh, and he put the staff that God gave him, and he turned it into a snake. Well, Pharaoh was cocky because his magicians took their staff and they turned them into snakes too. And the thing about it is Moses's one snake ate up their two snakes. So what you were supposed to see out of that analogy was that the power of God in his mysteries was more powerful than Satan in his mysteries. And see, church, we really got to get this thing down packed, because the enemy has the ability to operate in power. The word of God tells us that. But his power does not supersede that of God. He has his illusions. He has his tricks. But it doesn't supersede the power of God. So you need to understand that when I say that the blood of using the blood of Jesus doesn't work, you may be thinking that it does, but how about it's an illusion that the enemy would allow you to see and believe that it works so that you don't use the ultimate power that he's given you, because he wants you crippled. So just because you're getting results doesn't mean you're getting the results that God would like to see. So back to what I was saying with Moses. Well, eventually it got to the end, and God was going to send the plague of all plagues. Now, you got to remember, let me just add this in here. Before Moses wasn't supposed to make it. When Moses was born, the Pharaoh was afraid of the Israelites, his slaves, because he said, they keep on having all these babies. They keep on having these men. I got them as slaves. They working and they strong. What if they ever get it in their mind to rebel? Their population is getting too vast. There are too many of them, and we need to contain it so that they can't overthrow our army, because there's power in numbers. So he started killing off the boys. He said every time a woman has a baby, he said, I want the baby boys killed. Moses' mother happened to hide him, and that's a whole other story. I'm not going to get into all that, but Moses survived that incident. Well, God sent that same type of plague back to him, but it was a little deeper than that. He said that he told Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And he said, okay, you're not going to do it? Fine. Moses went to the Israelites and said, look, go get the blood of a lamb and put it on your doorpost. Put it on the top and put it on the two sides. He said, because a plague is coming. Anybody who does not do this, the firstborn male of every household shall be taken. Now, of course, the Egyptians ain't going to do it because they don't believe in our God and they ain't got the inside scoop. And the bottom line is the death angel came through and killed off the men that didn't have anybody that didn't have the blood on the doorpost. And the Pharaoh's son was one of those. He was so distraught, and that's when he finally surrendered, and he let the people go. So what has the church taught? The church has taught, look at that. Look at the power of God. So people are going around pleading the blood of Jesus. But see, you got to understand that the New Testament and the Old Testament work together, but there are some things in the New Testament versus the Old Testament that don't work like that anymore. The Old Testament was a foreshadowing of what was to come because there was going to the lamb, there was going to be a sacrifice that was going to shed his blood that was going to save God's people. But the power was not in the blood. The power was in the obedience, okay? The power was simply in the obedience. Here's the thing. If you don't believe me, I want you all to research scriptures. Just Google in script, right? Type this in Google, scriptures in the blood, and you'll get a plethora of websites that'll give you a whole bunch of passages that use the scripture in the blood. And what you're going to find is that every time you see a scripture and it says anything about the blood of Jesus, it is also going to say something about the remission of sin, okay? It's not going to say that's how, you know, there's only one scripture, and it's in, I believe, in Revelation chapter 12, where it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And I've heard people use that one scripture, but this is talking about the defeat of the enemy at the end of the Bible, a revelation that John saw. But beyond that, every time you see something in reference to the blood, you're going to see that the blood has to do with the remission of sin. If you go to Revelation chapter 1, just you guys, I'm going to move kind of swiftly only because there's a lot of scriptures and there's limited time. If you got your pen and your paper, write them down. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, under earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood. Washed us from our sins. What did the blood do? It washed us from our sins. If you keep on reading passage after passage after passage, you're going to continue to see the same thing. That blood is for the remission of sin. Nothing more, nothing less. Go to Exodus chapter 12 and 13. You'll still see the same thing. Matter of fact, let me see if I can get out a little bit to that scripture really quick. Revelation chapter 12, verse 13 is another scripture that happens to mention it. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see, I'm sorry, scratch that. I'm reading the wrong scripture. That's the scripture that talks about what I just said in chapter 12, where he said that the blood was going to, if as long as the blood was over the houses, that it was going to make the death angel end up passing over it. I believe where I need to be is in Hebrews chapter 10. You all have to excuse me. You know, sometimes you can study and you can write stuff down and you get to writing fast and you're taking notes. You know, every once in a while you pass to say, go to chapter this, verse this, and everybody got that look like, because they can't find it. Yeah, so just an error on my part, people. Please forgive me. All right. Bear with me. Just one second, folks. Okay, I'm having a very adventurous day today. There we go. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, which through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We go back again. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That's another type of reference in reference to the blood of Jesus. Not anything spectacular. We're not talking about demons. We're not talking about sacrifice. We're talking about the fact that the blood is what has given us the ability to be free from our sin. It is because he shed his blood, and it's also through the Spirit that we are able to have our conscience clear. That's the key to the blood of Jesus. Nothing more, nothing less. Anything extra is going out of your way. In reference to having power, though, and having authority and being effective, the only power that the church has is the name of Jesus. Not the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus. So quit going around telling people that they need to plead the blood of Jesus, because you pleading the blood of Jesus for Sister So-and-so to get healed, and then you wonder why she ain't getting healed. And then the church does something that's really crazy. We start saying, well, maybe it's because she had too much sin in her. Maybe that wasn't God's will for her life, et cetera, et cetera. But don't start playing games and start judging people because you used the technique that was ineffective because you didn't do what God told you to do. Every time you see that there was authority over demons or people were healed of whatever their affliction was, it was always by the name of Jesus. It was not by the blood of Jesus. So if you look at Acts chapter 4, remember the Temple of Beautiful where there was a lame man laying there and he didn't want to get up? All he wanted to do was beg and ask for money. And the man was like, can I have it? Peter, no, it is Acts chapter 3 and 6, where Peter told the man, he said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, he said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, he told him to rise up and walk. That man walked up. He didn't say, by the blood of Jesus, rise up and walk. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, okay? Now, in Acts chapter 4 and 12, because later on it said the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to confront Peter after he healed that man. And what did he say in Acts chapter 4 and 12 in response to them? Just one of the things that he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name, what's the name? Jesus, under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Every time you see something about power and authority, it's in the name. Last week, we were talking about Jesus. We were talking to Lord. I'm having one of those days. You guys have to bear with me. Last week when we were speaking on the topic and we were talking about healing and having power over the enemy, we were in Luke chapter 10. When we were in Luke chapter 10, what did we notice? When he sent out the disciples, and remember I talked to you about how it wasn't just the 12, he sent out over, it was 70 disciples. When they came back, when you read Luke chapter 10 and 17, it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Not through the blood, but through thy name. So 70 men went out, and they had did whatever they did. When they were commissioned, they were fighting. They were fighting people that had that were lame, that were blind, that had the palsy, epilepsy, that had demons. But he said that the demons were subject to individuals by the name of Jesus, not by the blood of Jesus. Are you all following me? This is just something that's really quick. Google it, folks. Go out there and look for it so that you can see it for yourself. Because this is not rocket science what we're doing here. This is simple. Read it. It's literal. It's in front of your face. If you go to Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, it says, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins by calling on the name of the Lord." So even the baptism, remember when you get baptized, it's in the name of Jesus Christ. Some people say in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but a lot of people you baptize, you also see the scripture say, and they baptize in the name of Jesus. So once again, the blood, because he shed his blood on a cross, the whole act of dying itself, when it's mentioned in the blood, that is what gave us the ability to be saved. But the actuality of salvation still comes by the name of Jesus. So the power is not in the blood, people. When the Bible makes reference to the blood, it's really making reference to his death, okay? I hope you guys are tracking. I really can't sit here and try to make this any deeper than what it is. This is just plain and simple. So if you've got an ailment, you know, you're sick, you need healing. If you understand and you deal with deliverance and casting out of demons and all of that, by all means, do it. But if you're going to do it right. Do things by the name of Jesus Christ, not by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because what's happening in the church is sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. And we got to start using our weapons, and we got to use them properly. There are some people out there with some really powerful books, and they can tell you how to pray every scripture up and down, left and right. But when they get through, they still are also telling you to plead the blood of Jesus. How about you save your breath, okay? Save your breath and call on the name of Jesus and leave that where it is. Matter of fact, James chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "Is any among you sick?" What does that scripture say? It says, go take them to the elders and let them pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It says that Jesus was given a name, that there was a highest name. Every name is subject to that. Matter of fact, what is that scripture? That's in Acts. Now, that one's just coming off of my head. I believe that's in Acts chapter 4, where it talks about that there's no name under, we read that one, that there's no name under heaven among men. That's the highest name that there is. So we need to be effective. And in order to be effective, we have to use our weapons properly, okay? We have to do what we need to do. The enemy is having a field day, folks. He's out here, you know, whether it be with psychics or whatever. He's using his power and his authority, and he is getting busy, okay? And the church has got to start getting busy. Jesus did say that if it wasn't for these signs, some of you wouldn't believe, and that's the truth. But the church is really weak. Where are our signs? What are we doing? Why are we afraid to open up our mouth and say things and know and believe that when we say them, they're going to get done? Because we always talk about how God will give us the desires of our heart. Yeah, but that's when we're trying to find a job or when we're trying to find a house and, you know, when we're trying to find a man. What about giving us the desires of our heart when we are trying to heal someone that's sick? Think about that. When was the last time that your desires for your heart were not selfish and they were motivated to do something for somebody other than just you? We'll speak everything into existence but that. The power of life and death exists in the tongue, but if we're not speaking life words, then why do we expect to get life-like results? The word of God requires us, if we're going to carry Jesus in our heart, it requires us to have compassion for our fellow man. Jesus was always moved by compassion, and that's why even when he was tired, when he had throngs of people following him, he healed them all and he ministered to them all. Where is our desire to do that? Hey, I'm not saying we're going to die and go to hell because we didn't heal anybody today, we didn't lay on hands, but almost every day, you know, multiple times in our life, somebody comes to us that we care about and we find out that they have cancer, that such and such is sick and has to get a bypass surgery. You know, yeah, some of the things that people are dealing with, you put them on yourself because you don't eat right and you do things like that. We've had episodes where we talked about that, about being sick because you don't take care of the temple that God gave you. But you know what? God is so awesome that he can heal you in spite of that. It's just that you would re-damage yourself if you don't change. There was no interrogation or interview with people when Jesus healed them. A lot of times Jesus was just antagonistic. He was like, the Pharisees and the Sadducees are watching me. You come over here, I'm going to heal you since they all up in my face. But you got to understand where your power and your authority lies. I know that Grandmom and them, they pled it. I know that when Grandmom and them prayed, they got a prayer through. I know that God hears them. I know that God loves them. You know, but the times are running short, and we got to be effective, church. We got to be effective and do what God has called us to do. And just because it looked like it worked a lot of the times, we can't continue to do what we've done before. So Google it. Challenge me. I always tell you guys, if you think I'm talking hocus pocus, I'm making something up, then I always ask you to email me. You know, those of you that are really close to me, call me. I always ask you to, you know, come find me on Facebook. It's AugustCrenshaw@yahoo.com and August Crenshaw on Facebook, August with an E, AugustCrenshaw. Hey, if I'm wrong, correct me. I want to be right, but I'm very confident. And I'm going to, you know what? I was going to get off the phone, but let me share this testimony with you. I always do this. I always say I'm done and I think about something. I got approached by a Jehovah's Witness, and it's been a while since that's happened to me. And now I'm in Texas, so, you know, now. And it was interesting. They knocked on my apartment door, and I looked out the door, and I could have just ignored them and let them go. But I've always been one that I like it when Jehovah's Witnesses come, because I believe it's an opportunity for me to minister to them and tell them the truth. Now, here's the irony in the whole situation. I went ahead and opened my door, and there were two men out there, and one was standing, and one was in a wheelchair. I'm not saying you can't preach God and have a deformity or be an ailment or anything. You can, and you still should, because that's not why we preach the gospel here. But here's the funny thing the man said to me. He was like, hey, you know, how are you doing? We just want to talk to you about the Bible and God. And he said, you know, before we do anything, I just want to ask you a question because, you know, Christmas time is coming up. And, you know, yeah, that makes people think about Jesus, right? And I said, well, I hope so, even though you and I all know it makes people think about spending all their money to paying God to hold them over to income tax time, come back around again. Threw that one out there for free. But anyway, I said, yeah, I hope so, most people. He said, well, Jesus performed many miracles when he was here, didn't he? I said, yes, he did. He said, so if you could have any miracle right now, what would that be? And I looked at him because I was actually perplexed by the question, because I don't have problems, you understand? So I looked at him. I said, well, I'm going to be real honest with you. I love my life, and I love what God has done for me. I'm not looking for a miracle. And he's like, oh, well, we're all looking for something. I said, no. I said, if you knew my testimony, just me being here is a miracle. You know, so he kind of, you know, looked, and I said, yeah, you know, no, I'm not looking for anything, you know. So, you know, where are you going with everything? What's your point? And he was like, well, you know, Jesus performed miracles, and he started witnessing and, you know, just saying everything that he had to say. And they were trying to convince me to come to their side. And I was like, no, you know, because you all don't believe in miracles for real. I was able to flip it back. You don't believe in speaking in tongues. You don't believe in laying on hands. You don't believe in casting out demons. And then he began to elaborate on why they don't believe it and how Jesus did that back in the day, and then he stopped. And I said, okay, well, you can't convince me otherwise, because I've had the ability to see and perform all of those things that you've brought up. So I know that they're real. And that's like that episode that I did a couple weeks ago when I said, why do you believe in God? And don't quote me a Bible verse. You need more than just the word of God to be a believer, because something has to set roots. The Bible has had to come to life in your eyes in order for you to believe that. But I looked at the man and I said, oh, no, it's real. And I said, how about you get your miracle? How about you get up and walk? Don't you believe that that was capable? And this man looked at me and he said, if Jesus said it. People, I'm telling you, I stood there, and I know they saw me almost begin to cry. It literally hurt me. I said, but why does Jesus have to say it? I am here, and he is in me. I am commissioned by his spirit. I get to say with authority. And he was like, no, ma'am. Only if Jesus was here and only if he said it. See, you got to understand, it's people that's walking around, they don't believe in the power and the authority that God has given us. And one thing that Jehovah's Witnesses are not sold out on is they are not sold out on the name of Jesus Christ. They're not sold out on all that he said when he left. Think about everything that Jesus did when he did. If you're dealing with, you know, a sickness or whatever it is, whether you're dealing with a child that, you know, got a deformity, Jesus, he healed stuff like that. And he said to the disciples, he said, because I go to the Father, these things and greater things shall ye do. So whatever Jesus did, we're supposed to be able to do that and then some. Okay? We have to have an expectation. The Bible says that his word will not return void. We need to be up in our spirits and happy and with joy and with confidence, knowing that if we make our request known to God with a spirit of thanksgiving, he's going to give it to us. The other scriptures say that if you ask anything in my name, that I will do it. Another scripture in Proverbs 18:10 says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the name of the Lord, okay, people? Not the blood of the Lord, but the name of the Lord. Most of the things that we've learned from our mothers and fathers in the Bible was true. But we have got to understand the power in the name of Jesus. And it's not the power just because of the name. It's the power because we carry his spirit. He said in Acts chapter 1 that after we received his spirit that we would have power and authority. So when we speak the name of Jesus and we do things, it means something completely different compared to a person just going around saying, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. So I'm gonna close out. I hope that today was informative so that you can go look and find out for yourself. But I just pray to God that these words have hit fertile soil. The soil's been tilled and turned up, and there's an excitement in the people that have heard this message to get closer and closer to the truth and to fine tune and tweak what it is that you've been taught, so that you can get even greater things from God than you received before. May everybody that hears this message, by the name of Jesus and by the power and authority that God gave him, because he died on the cross and gave that name to be a name that was above any other name, may we please see healing and restoration in mind, body, and spirit for everyone that's heard and received this message. Let him have all power and authority in the name of Jesus to heal, to cleanse, and to purify anything that's out there. I thank you all for listening. It's a little weird. Y'all know I'm a talker, kind of doing snippet, snap subjects and getting off the air, but we will be back next week. And if you have a question or a topic or a controversy, bring it to me, because we're going to talk about it, because we're going to be more powerful in the kingdom of God. Thank you all for tuning in. Bye-bye.